right, we need to do this chat, but I'd love to talk more about Baldur's Gate 3, but everything you would say would be spoilery to me, so.
Right, yeah.
Hello everyone,
Oh,
and
did you
welcome.
finish it?
Do what? Yeah,
Did you
he
finish
just
it?
said he finished his single player campaign, yeah. Took him 138 hours, is what he said.
Yeah.
But he did literally everything. And I know in our
I did
co-op
all.
game, we're doing the opposite of that, where we're like skipping a lot of content, but it still feels like it's taken us a long time.
Yes,
And we have
yeah.
no party members, so we're
Right,
skipping all of
which is a
that
lot of
content.
stuff.
That's a
Yeah, it's a
lot of
lot
stuff.
of
That's
stuff.
quests, that's talking to people, that's like all that shit, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, welcome to Chat from the Deep, our weekly live stream post-session discussion. We talk about
We're
what just
talking
happened during Baldur's
about
Gate 3. Yeah. No, this is from Call from the Deep. No, watch that. Session 25. Please do the beat to. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm your DM, Eric. It's late. I needed the rum and coke. Joining me, we
Baldur's
have Gottwald's player, Chris,
Hello.
and Max player, Raymond.
Hello.
Completionist is 156. So I didn't actually do like
On how long to beat?
how, yeah.
Wow.
So mine
Wow.
did come in under that, but it is still, I think I did everything. I think I did everything I could do, and it was
That's nuts.
138. Yeah.
That's not. It's nuts that they looked at Divinity Original Sin and went like, oh yeah, we can make a bigger
We could make a
game.
longer,
We can make
yeah.
a way bigger game than this.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, those were huge games. Anyway, Call from the Deep.
Comedy. We do.
We had two big dialogue social sessions and two big combat encounters. We kind of crammed a lot into this session, I think. We still have not actually gotten to the fireworks factory, the titular module that this entire quest arc is named after.
That's
But
interesting. Does that mean that everything we've done has been homebrew from you?
well, that's a good question. So, kind of what I've done. So, I think I mentioned last week that this quest arc you're on is from Ghost of Saltmarsh, and it's the name of it is called The Final Enemy because it's the third in the Saltmarsh trilogy. And that trilogy is Sinister Secret of Saltmarsh is the first adventure, which we did is the haunted house thing. Although I changed the story about that. When that story is you find out lizard folk are stockpiling weapons and they're like running weapons, like, oh shit, they're gonna attack somebody. And then the second mission is called Danger at Dunwater, and you go to lizard folk lair and you're like, oh, we gotta stop the lizard folk. And you get to lizard folk and you realize that they're not trying to attack Saltmarsh, they're actually trying to attack this Sawagin force that took over their base.
I
And then
see.
the
Okay.
third mission
That's a pretty
is,
cool twist.
yeah, and then the third, although it's weird because you have this whole huge lizard folk dungeon lair, but you're not supposed to like fight anybody. You're just supposed to go talk to them,
Yeah.
and then you get the mission, and
Oh.
that's done. So it's a very oddly structured, which is why I didn't
That
use it.
is,
But
yeah.
I used the idea behind it for basically this one session, essentially, where you meet with the lizard folk and kind of learn the further context and story about the upcoming dungeon. Excuse me. So I condensed sort of the meat of that entire module into this one session because I did like that motivation for like, okay, these lizard folk were attacked, their lair was taken over. But you can go talk to them and get some information from them and further intel and stuff. And then I did add the whole Thornhold, Grey Castle thing. That was kind of homebrewed thing, but it was just a little
Okay.
dialogue session. So,
Yeah. Just to get us there, get us to the lizards.
yeah, but also provide you guys with like a safe harbor, literally, to like make
Yeah.
sure. And you guys picked up like, oh, we can long rest here. Like, yeah, that's fine. That's like kind of the whole point of that space. So yeah, we had the meeting with the Grey Castles, and then you could set out. Oh yeah, the swamp. I literally, as just a random aside, I was like, "All right, I don't want to turn the swamp into like a dungeon crawl or anything like that. We've already got the dungeon crawl, but let's just make it some kind of overland travel thing. But I don't want to make it. There's no map, there's no nothing. Like, let's just come up with a couple like an encounter
Yeah.
table, basically." So at the last minute, I'll be like, all right, I'll just fucking write down some quick encounter, like, dangers, just in case
Right.
they start fucking up these checks I'll have them make. And you fucking called it. Like, you guys hit every fucking branch on the way down this tree. And I was like, oh no, I gotta pull like all the levers on my penalty system. Elliot.
I'll say I love that though. I like that stuff that's like, you know. It's a specific skill that not doesn't come into play very often, but is it like, hey, somebody's got to excel at the skill, or you guys are gonna like suffer some consequences. Yeah. Now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Somebody needs to step up with this particular thing.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a problem.
There's going to be a problem. Right.
I found it very funny though.
And two different people tried, which was funny that you guys actually don't have a dedicated like nature person.
Yeah.
That can get you through. It's hysterical that the ranger, and I like that Raymond was like, "I'm a ranger. I can do this." It's in the job description. Look at my card, and he's got a plus one. And rolled hilariously bad.
I mean, you're right. I'm a city boy.
He's a city boy. Yeah. Which that is a thing. You'd be like an urban bounty hunter, a night's watch, or whatever your you know, like, the whole background
like
was.
Like proficient in Excel on your resume. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, I know how to like. I
definitely.
I know how to save it in Excel.
Yeah, he's a city ranger. It's a thing.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was hilarious that you guys fucked that up so badly. I guess I'm in previous campaigns. I feel like we always had a party member who was like, "Oh yeah, I've got my plus nine to survival. Of course, I've got this," and it was like never an issue. So it was weird to just randomly look at this campaign. I was looking through everybody's sheets going, oh man, the ranger is not the good survival check. Your best is like a plus four. This is going to be interesting.
Yep.
And I don't know if this is the first time we had to roll survival, but certainly in a couple times in a row. So that was pretty funny. You guys hitting all the things in the swamp and it doing terrible things to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I looked up some kind of swamp encounter.
And there were all good things too, like some like acid area.
I mean, the big thing is I don't like with encounter tables is when they're like, oh, they run into, you know, 2d6 wolves or something. I'm like, well, I don't want to turn into a big combat encounter.
No, definitely not. Yeah, for sure. I feel like you did the right thing where it's like even when the creature's attacking, it was like, oh, they attack and they fly off.
They attack and they fly. Yeah, so it's like it's a trap basically, or it's a hazard. Yeah. So all these things are like a trap or a thing hits you versus, because I think that's what like Celeste done too many of these games that take the encounter mechanics too literally is it just slows things down with like, okay, now it's got to be a combat encounter. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be a combat encounter. You can still have a resource draining thing happen, you know, to the party. So it has consequences are good, but throwing combat encounters at the party as consequences need to be done very sparingly.
We wouldn't have gotten nearly as far if you had been throwing like, and then a swarm of mosquitoes, and you have to fight the mosquitoes, and it's like, okay, well, great, now we're doing this for 20 minutes. Yeah, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, and because that happens, like, yeah, you got to be wary about your time and where you're gonna divert that energy. And I knew I had a combat encounter planned with the lizard folk, so which is why I didn't have a bullshit random one before that, because I'm like, all right, and you know, I'd gone back and forth on this. This is completely I guess homebrewed, although crafting folks definitely encourage the use of this one particular creature whose name I cannot pronounce correctly, but I think I mentioned Catoblipus, I think is what we determined on the shout out to
the same way I pronounce Mazolium.
Mazolium, yeah.
It's
a weird fucking name. It's a weird fucking name. I don't like it. It doesn't sound good when you say it. No matter how you say it, it doesn't sound good. So I like that we immediately started just nicknaming them swamp buffaloes or whatever.
Swamp cows, yeah.
cows, like, and I went with that. Like, I never tried to correct anybody because I'm like, yes, we're calling it everything but its original name.
Yep.
Fun fact, the original monster is in the 5e monster manual. Just one of those creatures we've never fought before.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah. The adult is actually the original. The calves are from Monster Manual Expanded 2, I believe. Shout out to Dragonix, who makes all those books are basically variants and different level creatures based on original creatures from Monster Manual.
Okay.
At least I think it's from the Monster Manual, right?
Catoplatopus?
Shut up, Dominic. You don't know.
I'm going to call
your stupid Australian pronunciation doesn't make any sense to me.
Catoblepus.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. It's not in the Monster Manual. It's from Mordenkainen. It's from Volo's Guide to Monsters originally. And then it appears again in Mordenkainen Presents Monsters of the Multiverse. So not in the original Monster Manual. Yes, Volo's, thank you. The calf is a variant stat block that's just a weaker version of the creature that appears in Monster Manual Expanded 2. Mm. And somebody suggested the Catoblipus. And that's when I crafted, let's...
I don't like what you're saying.
I know, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. I agree. It's horrible. I hate it. Stricken from the record.
Oh, there's a YouTube video on how to pronounce it. From the American English.
Okay, what did I say?
What did they say?
American English.
I have to watch an ad.
We're waiting with bated breath. I never did look it up, and I just talked about how I look up people's names to pronounce them.
It just is Catoblepis.
Catoblepis.
I don't like it.
It never sounds good. It never sounds good. Swamp Buffalo.
I guess it was a Final Fantasy character.
Huh. Okay.
Is it?
Final Fantasy VII?
Like a monster? Mm. Does it look the same? Is it a Swamp Buffalo looking thing? I like this encounter. I went back and forth on having you, like, the monsters ambush you or you guys come across Lilith, but like how I was going to stage it. But I was like, all right, let's just have it in the middle of the battle and I can prevent those big nasty AoEs you guys do by having them be engaged with creatures you're trying to find.
Yeah.
Although Reese ended up still doing his big hunger for Hadar anyway. And then I was like, all right, let's not engage the adult yet, but let's have all the calves out there with lizard folk, which kind of puts into favor. And also I had the calves all have their death rays on recharge. And if you noticed, only one ever got its death ray off.
Mm-hmm.
I was rolling those recharges constantly and never getting them. So the story there was they had already used them on the lizard folk. That's why they were all damaged and some were dead and everything. The adult, however, appears the first round. I just rolled really bad initiative at the end, and it came up with its death charge ready to go. And holy crap, did it impress with its first initial damage roll.
Was, yeah.
8d8, and I rolled like 50 damage.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. So pretty fun. Thing has 80-some hit points, too. Forget what the average is on
it. I thought it was a pretty fun like mini boss monster, to be honest. Yes. Like, it was like we didn't know what it did, we didn't know what it could do, and yeah,
it's a little crazy. It's it only has the one attack, but it hits like a truck. It can stun you with its main attack, reach of 10 feet, pretty strong, and then it has that death ray that just is nasty with a pretty high con save. But you guys did a good job at making the save against it. Also, any creature that has a thing that auto happens passively is fantastic for DMs. In this case, it was that chance of poisoning anytime you're like starting your turn near it. So yeah, I like this encounter and I like the challenge of you like trying to sort of help people and save them and converse with them while also kicking ass in here.
Right. However you pronounce it, it's apparently an Ethiopian mythological creature.
Most of the creatures are from
some ancient mythology.
Yes, from mythologies.
Yeah, and it's said to resemble a Cape buffalo with its head always pointing down toward due to its great weight. Its stare or breath could turn people to stone or kill them. So yeah, it's pretty close. Okay.
That's how I was picturing it. It's like it just locks eyes with you, and you just start shriveling up inside. Yeah. So that was funsies. And then you got to go to the Lizard Folk tribe, where again, I was like, all right, this could be a scene. And then I started thinking, well, something I've always enjoyed that we do, and I think you guys enjoy it too, is the duels, where you're usually talking to a people or maybe just one person, and you want to do like a one-on-one fight. You get a chance to prep for it and everything, but like, here's this battle.
I'd be interested to know how many times we've done it, because I know I've done it at least once in both of my campaigns. I can't remember in the last one, but I remember Rochelle, the Blue Dragon tribe, dueling another person. You guys all just watching and preparing here. You've done it in at least the last campaign. With the Goblin tribe.
Yes.
Reese had to fight the goblins.
Well, that one, and then Frey fought a giant one-on-one duel.
Well, that's right, she did. Yeah, so there are two of that.
There was not a tribe, but it was just, so I'm a big fan of them, and I think it's just fun for the players to be able to do it. And you think, the idea is, you don't want to focus on one player. You can, but like that is exclusion to everybody else. But actually, and even we saw tonight, everybody gets into it. They like hype themselves. They're like, oh, fucking Raymond doing like the mic was amazing. Like, so something I've learned from my group is we all seem to respond very well to that sort of thing as just a fun, like, oh, this is kind of a fun casual, like we're just having a blast fight.
Yeah.
Versus like deadly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who was going to fight. I had a feeling Gottwald would probably be the most excited, but technically anybody could have done it. And I certainly didn't expect you to kick ass that much. I literally put the strongest lizard folk stat block that I could find which was basically a CR4 lizard king or queen. Although I tease the fact that in my game, those folk queens actually have like magical abilities and stuff, and she didn't have that. But the mechanical stat block was basically a lizard queen already.
Yeah.
But she's not a player character. She's not still as strong as any of you all. But she had
I literally got to show off like all of the like martial action.
You got to show, yeah, and you really got, yeah,
I shoved.
You
I
did. It was pretty neat. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed witnessing it. She had literally the same hit points you did, but you kicked ass so much. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, she doesn't have action surge. She doesn't have all the, she could have grappled and surge stuff. She does have a special ability where if she hits you with her trident, she does extra damage and gains temporary hit points.
Ah.
But you son of a bitch, she missed with both attacks and you disarmed her trident and then grappled her away from it. So it's like, fuck, you just neutered her best ability. And then I just rolled really bad for that whole.
You did, yeah. Once we were like,
it was kind of embarrassing. Like she was not that strong, but like she really shit the bed on that one. So like after the big hype, I expected a little bit more back and forth, but you kind of just stomped me. But that's the way the dice went. Now I even wrote in my notes like even if the reverse happened and you got your butt kicked, as long as you fight honorably, that's pretty much what's. It's not required you to actually win here. It's just, hey, did you show off your prowess? Did you fight well? Then all right, that'll basically be on your side.
Yeah.
The only time it really would have fucked things up is if you guys killed somebody or like just cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah, used magic and shit. So that was basically the goal here.
Yep.
So yeah, I think I knew into going into last week's and this week's, we wouldn't actually make it to the dungeon yet because I had some more story context to do. And then the more I read about, I even added the entire Ghosts of Saltmarsh module to this adventure just so I could read more about those individual characters. Like Sariv, the old man is from that Danger at Dunwater module. So I pulled his character from it. So yeah, I basically took the RP from this big dungeon crawl module and just put it into this one session as a precursor to the one we're actually running.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
Which I will be very interested to see how you guys figure all this out, because it's nerve-wracking for the DM who somebody has to provide maps and tokens and be like, I have no idea how you're going to approach this situation.
Yeah. From what you were describing and what we were talking about at the end, I feel like at least I've got a spark of an idea, and it's basically just a very basic, just, you know, a dupe, I don't know what the term is, distraction maneuver, where like we have the lizard folk like attack the Sawagin and then just run away.
Yeah.
And hope the Sawagin all follow them.
At least enough of them. Yeah.
We go in. You know, that very basic thing.
Pretty classic, I think, yeah.
Yep.
Very dangerous for the poor lizard folk who are, as I tried to paint a picture of, in very bad shape. It's mostly children, elderly, and the sick, but you know, they've got some forces and
four warriors in there.
and some of them are convinced that they're, you know, queens still in there. So they're ultimately want to try to save face if they can, so they're willing to commit their forces.
Send their children instead.
So yeah, this is going to be a big quest arc, because I think it's a big area you're coming to. Obviously, I don't want to spoil things. I briefly showed you the maps, but I kind of realized we were getting to the end, and I did want to squeeze this little bit in it at the end, so we ended up playing through this, even though it was getting late, and I was like, oh, but now I want to do the whole planning thing, but it's late, so we're going to have to do the planning thing next time.
Yeah,
so I shared you these maps real quick. These are all like, I have all these in-universe maps the lizard folk share with you to like show you like the layout of the dungeon and kind of really give you some intel.
Where did those come from?
So these, you don't think I drew these? I did not.
Maybe, but they don't look like it.
No, I did not draw these. Where did I find it? It was on the Discord channel. This is apparently scans from the original module, was not in the recent 5e release, but was in the original release that the lizard folk give your characters these maps as like drawings of their map, which I think is a neat way of like, here's the limited intel heist information you have to plan your thing. But you don't know if, like, Sawagina made any alterations. And I even, as I keep mentioning over and over again, they sunk, like, more than half the island into the water. So that's...
So we're going to be... That's something we got to plan for. Is like, we're going to be underwater for a lot of this. So we're going to have to, like, equip ourselves and potions and whatever else we need
that
to
is
do.
Correct. Yeah, which at this point, and you know, and you, I mean, we mentioned early in the campaign, like, well, gosh, we're gonna have to have some things in it, but now you look at it and we're like, hopefully you've got some tools and supplies and stuff at this
at
level.
We have some potions and equipment that
I think at least half of you can straight up breathe underwater at this point.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
Somebody's got like an air bubble or air head thing. I forget.
Well, you all technically, you haven't used it in a while. You got it from that shipwreck, but it was like these magic stones that you could separate to a certain.
Turn them into like a garter or a belt thing, like around.
Well, they could be enough to fill up a room, but you'd have to be very careful with like how you position them and hold them and stuff. You can kind of create like a pocket, basically.
Yeah.
But it's definitely supposed to be, you know, as I mentioned, hundreds of Swaggin. So this is not your, like, kick down the door thing. This is your...
Right. We're not expected to fight all of the...
Yeah.
Be fine.
There will be enemies in there you'll probably have to fight, but you cannot fight them all.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll try. We'll turn it into a classic heist into chase sequence.
That's right.
All right. Anything else about... Session 25. I'm going to go ahead and give you a post-session inspiration, Gottwald, for the kicking ass of the duel.
Oh, I'll take it.
All right, I think that will do it for Chat from the Deep, then. Thank you to Chris and Raymond. Thank you to all the fans for watching, and we will return... We will return next week, right? That's next week is fine.
Yes.
All right.
I think for the foreseeable future, we're okay.
No, it's fucking birthday hell week in 2 weeks.
Oh, is it really?
Reese and Ray are both going to be gone.
Oh, right. That's
so we gotta talk about that if we have some kind of plans for that week. So next week will be fine. The week after that, we're gonna.
Week after that, okay.